today on Real Radio.
Listen, if you're trusting in the blood of Christ, you've been justified. Been, according to God. Are you hearing me? According to God, you've been justified. So walk like it. Get up and conduct yourself knowing that God says, I've justified you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, with a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ, who of course later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do. And our most compelling response to his challenge is to love the way Jesus loved, because love covers all. In part one, we saw how it's God's will that we have the right attitude about suffering and sin. Like Jesus, we're not only to embrace suffering, but to allow it to both refine us and to purify us. And like Jesus, we're not only to hate sin, but to help rescue those who are caught in its snare. Incredible opposition is actually an incredible opportunity to live out what we believe about Jesus Christ, knowing that one day we will live forever with him. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are to stop looking back and to make a clean break from our former life. This comes by yielding to the power of God and living through the power of the Holy Spirit. Attacks and temptations will come, but through Jesus Christ, we have victory. And now in his message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I can't lean back like Flip Wilson in yesteryear used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? The devil didn't make me do nothing. He can only tempt. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
A lot of people say, man, I don't know what's going on in my life, man. I've got all these things, and, you know, now I'm hooked on drugs, stuck on porn, robbing banks, you know, shooting kitties. I don't know what God's doing in my life. Dude, don't blame that on God. You're doing those things because you want to do those things. God has nothing to do with that. He doesn't tempt you with evil. Satan comes along and he uses the opportunity of your flesh. And if you don't understand that sin has been defeated, the power of it in your life, you're going to fall victim. And you're going to be like Lazarus. You might have new life, but you're wrapped in grave clothes. You're like this. You can't do anything. You have no Christian power. That's why Lazarus was alive when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Can you imagine? And the Bible tells us, here he comes. Do you think that's what Christ intended? Come forth from the dead and be wrapped up in grave clothes for the rest of your life and have no power. In fact, we can't even hear a word you're saying. Lazarus, what? And a lot of Christians are like that. They've been given new life, but they're wrapped in old sins. And when they speak, nobody's listening because it's all muffled. And I love what Jesus said. Jesus said to the crowd, loose him and let him go. In my mind, because I have a cartoon brain, I see somebody pulling a thread down by Lazarus' feet, and it just goes. And you can hear, da-da! And there's Lazarus. In fact, if you read John chapter 12, you'll see what really happened. He went and shot his mouth off so much about God that the scribes decided we're going to kill him. They'll never learn. He rose from the dead by Jesus' power, but that bothers us, so we'll kill him. I think if they would have killed him, Jesus would have raised him a second time and a third time and a fourth time. He had a message. So do you. Stop looking back at the things that have hounded you and have been gripping you. You need to make a clean break, not because it's your clean break that changes your life. No, you can make a clean break because your life has been changed by the power of God, and we walk into that. Colossians 3, verse 5. This is all nestled around that word ceased. Colossians 3, verse 5 says, therefore, put to death your members. Some pastors have viewed that as a judgment verse against their church members, but I'm kidding, of course. But he's talking about, if you allow me to put it somewhat bluntly, therefore put to death your eye, your hands, your feet, your body parts that you yield over to these temptations that get you in trouble. Put them to death. It's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, if your right eye offends you, oh, that's extreme. Pluck out your eye, really? Wow. You do understand that Jesus did not mean for you to go pluck out your eye if you sin. Because the second time you sin, you would have to pluck out the other eye. All believers would be blind in this world. No, he's announcing, and this scripture is announcing, that the things that are being vandalized and victimized and that are prone to enter into sin, cut those things off. Consider them dead. If you can't control your eyes, then you need to say, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, put a gate around my eyes. Jesus, I invite you into my life, storm the castle of my eyes and conquer them. And I yield to you. I decide today now to yield to the power of God. That's what you're going to want to do. Therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, and if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Jack, how do I crucify my flesh? So when some temptation comes, this is how it happens. It somehow hits you. It somehow comes across the TV screen. It somehow is in the room. It's somehow in the music. And it triggers, watch, it triggers a thought. At the genesis of the thought, the believer recognizes this is not good. This is not good. And if you relax, you go from walking in the Spirit to entertaining the flesh. To gain control over it, this is what you would do in your mind. I wouldn't encourage you to do this out loud. You might get arrested or something, but in your mind, you'd go like this. The temptation comes. This is not good. Lord, you said in that verse, I'm to put my members to death. Jesus, you gave me the power to do this. God, I'm just asking you right now, do you understand what I'm doing? See, I'm crinkling my face and all this kind of stuff because I'm exaggerating the war that's in your mind at this time. Are you with me? Yes. And it's going on in your head. And that issue or that temptation is right in front of you, and you're going, and you're like this, Lord, that's not right. Help me to look away. Help me to think of something else. Lord, give me a verse. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm to crucify this flesh. And you are preaching to yourself the power of the Word of God. What does this mean? It means you just got hit by an attack, which is normal for the believer, a temptation, and you're fighting it with the Word of God, and you will gain victory over it, promised by God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will get out of it. You will. He will rescue you out of it. He's promised to rescue you out of it. You will rescue. You will be rescued. Guaranteed. When you and I get into the weeds, it's because we didn't fight. We think thoughts like, well, everybody's doing it. Oh, just a little bit, maybe 5 minutes. You're lost. You've lost it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, God had foreknowledge of all things. Based on his foreknowledge, he predestined those to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Notice church's past tense. Listen, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Okay, listen, if you're trusting in the blood of Christ, you've been justified. Yeah. been. According to God, are you hearing me? According to God, you've been justified. So walk like it. Get up and conduct yourself knowing that God says, I've justified you. This is not a mystery. It's not magic. It's you and I making the determination, I'm going to walk in that victory because sin's been defeated. These he also called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Not will glorify, did glorify. Your names are written down in heaven, friends. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. And who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And here's our verse, Romans 8:33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Don't people condemn you? So what? So what? God doesn't. It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? And he goes on, nobody, nothing. Do you, listen, do you walk in that galvanized victory? You're going to leave this building today a victorious believer or a defeated believer? If you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the dead, and that he has saved you on his merits, not yours, then listen, you're going to go to heaven. But are you going to be like a Paul, for example, or are you going to be like a Lazarus that is yet unwrapped? Which one? You choose, because you get to choose. Think about those throughout all of church history who have accomplished great things for God. They weren't genetically predisposed better than you. They didn't have more of the Holy Spirit than you. Are you tracking? They took God's word and they said, I don't know how you're going to do this through little old me, God, but I'll do anything you say. So Lord, let's go. You're either that kind of a believer and your Christianity is a dynamic and God is moving in your life, or you're a defeated believer and it's like this. God will never use me. You know what? I'm so weak. I'm so messed up. And you fail to realize you have been justified by the work of Christ. You've been glorified. God has called you into his family, not to put you on the shelf, but to get you out onto the field. You have been Teflon or galvanized to go out into the world. It's very important. This ceasing from sin. When I say suffer the will of God, this is the beauty of it. Jack is a sinner saved by the grace of God because I have come to him by God's grace and understand Christ died for me. I, in coming to him, understand I need to have my sins forgiven. I ask him to forgive me. He says that he will wash away my sins and put his spirit in my life, that this life that I now live, I'm living in pursuit of God. I want more of God. I'm speaking on behalf of all of us, please, I hope. And this decision and this action cannot even happen without the work of God initially in your life. And you look around and you say, wow, you know what? God's moving in my life. God's changing things. He's working on me. How does this happen? Because the power of sin has been defeated over you. Amen. Think of it. So when it says this ceased, it's the wonderful meaning of this. It means to stop it in its tracks, to end it where it stands. It's a very violent word. It's to stop in your tracks. We would say, in a sense, kill it right there. Kill the thought, kill the action, kill the lion, the beast. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy 2, 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the previous stuff of life. Now, please watch this. Everybody look to the screens or look to your Bibles. A legalist, a person who claims to trust Jesus, but in reality, because of whatever spiritual upbringing has been forced upon you, you view it this way. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, okay, I know Jesus died for my sins, but I'll pick it up from there, and I will be really, really, my works will help me the rest of the way. Our dear Mormon friends believe this. Jesus died for their sins, Mormon doctrine teaches, but once they come to Christ, they then maintain their salvation by their works. The book of Galatians says that is in fact a lie from Satan and you have fallen from grace. Works come out of a changed life. Works do not save you or keep you saved. Therefore, if anyone cleanses, kills, stop dead in the tracks, sins attack against you, to trip you up, to blind you, himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master. Is that not your desire as a Christian? Oh God, please. Prepared for every good work. Here it is. Flee also, what? Youthful lusts. Wow. What is that? Let me encourage all of you. You know the lust and the battles and the passions, the intensity that you have as a young person? I used to be a young person. It's hard for people to believe, but I was once young. You know what stinks about that? What stinks about that is the Bible is so awesomely true. I'll tell you, and I'm a testimony of it, and so are you. Youthful lust never stop. Well, you think there's a time when I'll outgrow those kinds of attacks or thoughts or no? Here, let me encourage you. The battle that you're having in your mind at 16 is the battle that you'll have in your mind at 116. You want to know why? The flesh and the world stays the same. What's the difference? Victory in Jesus. Right? When we were young and the flesh went, woo! We went, just look, a hook. We were like this to it. So when the hook comes along, flee from it. Run. The word implies, by the way, flee, become a fugitive when sin pops up. You don't walk around it. You don't wink at it. Hey, I remember you. You don't drive down its street. You don't reminisce about the old times. Have you noticed the good old times? You always glorify, oh, remember that? We had such a great time. It's so not true. We're lying. We barely survived. Flee youthful lust, but in opposition, pursue righteousness. Decide to do the right thing. Faith, love, peace with those who call, notice the church, to those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they lead or they generate to strife. I say it over and over again. Verse 23, probably translated in the original language, would say, but avoid foolish and ignorant internet conversations. It's probably connected to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, something that's got to be in the Greek word in there. Tweetsky or something. I'm kidding, of course, but verse 23 is not being obeyed. People's lives are being governed by this ridiculous world we live in. Stop it. Stop it dead in its tracks, says the Bible. Not necessary. And then listen, one more time, we go to this. Look at verse 2. Suffering. Suffering the will of God is to have the right attitude about sin. And thirdly, we look at this. It's to continue on in the victory. Now, make sure you highlight the word to continue on. Continue. Verse 2 says that no longer, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. Watch. Either. I like to say either. So it says for the lust of men. I like to put it this way. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, either obeying the lust of this world or obeying the will of God. Stop it. This is cool. No longer struggle with the debate between two. Choose one. This echoes in the New Testament word, it echoes to an Old Testament truth. Do you remember when Joshua was aged and he's about ready to wrap it up? And do you remember what he, you already know what verse I'm thinking about. Remember when he looked to Israel and he said, I tell you what, choose today whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, hey, my wife, my kids, my family, Joshua says, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. So think for a moment. What could that possibly mean? How in the world, in the 21st century, are you to have the mind of Christ in this world now, and you're going to serve him as a vessel of honor in a godless age? What does that look like? It's a continuous, constant, constant battle. Can I say this with all affection? I don't know quite how to put it. But you'll never enjoy the fruits of victory. You will never enjoy success in the realm of the Spirit unless you engage in the war. You got to go to battle. That's why there's, I know none of these kind of Christians I'm about to describe go here, but they go to other churches where they're really bored with their Christianity. They're like, what is that? What did you say? Bible, what? Boring Christianity? How does in the world God give you the Holy Spirit to put you to sleep? I don't think so. This last week I had opportunities that I was... This week I was reminded of my life and how insignificant and meaningless my life is according to my view, but in Christ, off the charts. Are you with me?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Suffering the Will of God, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, interestingly enough, the closer you get to God, the more you'll care about what He cares about. Suffering the Will of God, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, just a quick reminder that Pastor Jack has his own YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's a great way to stay up to date on world events, catch some sermons and Bible studies, including 1 Peter. The episodes that you might have missed will be right there, or you can be a part of what's going on right here in California. We'd also like to encourage you to join the thousands who've already subscribed to Pastor Jack's channel, and be sure to click on the notifications button for new videos that he's recently uploaded. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through YouTube or at the website called jackhibbs.com. Once again, that's Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel at jackhibbs.com. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.